Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Be with you.
Let
us pray. Grant to us, Lord, we pray, the Spirit to think and do always those things that are right, that we who cannot exist without you may by you be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the first book of Kings. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. So then, putting away falsehoods, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, for only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so as your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve with the Holy Spirit of God, for which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. This is one of the many I am statements that John puts into the mouth of Jesus in John's account of the gospel. I am the bread of life. Now, we're going to have a couple more Sundays of this scripture from the sixth chapter of John's gospel, which is a discourse on Jesus as the bread of life. And fortunately, I have the opportunity to be preaching on it two Sundays in a row. So my intention is to do a two-part sermon. Because after all, what is our faith based on? Well, the Episcopal way of doing faith is based on two things: the Word and the sacraments. The head and the belly, as it were. The thinking and the doing. The two parts of our service are the service of the Word and the service of the table. The Word and sacraments that are the two cornerstones of our worship, our way of worshiping God, our way of knowing God, and our way of worshiping God. Word and sacrament. Two parts of our faith. And perhaps the best way for me to start this two-part series, which mainly this week will focus on the Word, is to tell you my own story. As many of you probably already know, I'm a cradle Episcopalian. And what does that do for me? Well, it gives me a foundation stone and particularly in the Word, because I grew up in the Protestant Episcopal Church. You know, they used to call it PECUSA, the Protestant Episcopal Church of the United States of America. Some of you may remember that. Some of you, this may be new news, and some of it, it's old news. But our parish was what was described years ago as snake belly low. That is to say, we emphasize the Word far more than the sacraments. We were not high church, as it were. We were a Protestant manifestation of the Episcopal Church. And I'll tell you why. Both my parents grew up in Virginia and Florida with South Carolina roots, and that's where the Word kind of was rooted in the Episcopal Church in the United States. In fact, we didn't dare call our priest Father. It was Dr. Lee and Mr. Taylor. And Dr. Lee, he wore a tie every day of the week. The old Protestant way of being the preacher. And we had communion the first Sunday of every month. And the other Sundays, it was morning prayer and sermon. And as one who grew up in the boys' choir, I would always sit, we had the old chancel style with the two choir pews on your way up to the altar. You know, the choir pews on either side. And the boys' choir was on the epistle side, and we sat in two rows there, and the adult choir sat on the other side, and they could see around the corner to the pulpit where Dr. Lee held forth almost every Sunday, because that's another part of the snake belly low Protestant Episcopal Church. The rector was the one who preached. The associate rarely got a chance or was shuffled off to the smaller service, the 9 o'clock family service. Every once in a while, Dr. Lee would let Mr. Taylor take the pulpit, but it was only every once in a while, not very often. And I can remember sitting there with my back to Dr. Lee, but seeing him in the mirror that was there for me to see the organist, and could see him just on his backside from there. And he went on, and he went on, and he went on. It seemed like to me it was an hour-long sermon. But of course, that's a young mind, and I'll give you a little bit of history from this diocese. When I first came here, the clergy at the opening service of convention would always have a pool. Everybody put a dollar in the pool before the opening service of convention. And then take a number, which was the guess as to how many minutes that our first bishop would preach. I won't name him, but he's still alive, although he's retired to outside the diocese. And the winner would be the one who the official timer would say is exactly how long that Bishop said, oh, I wasn't going to say that, held forth. And that's the way it felt when I was growing up in the Episcopal Church, because the emphasis was on the Word. And that's really, in many ways, what distinguishes us from most Protestant denominations. Their emphasis is on the Word, the unpacking of the Word. And if you think about it, our service of the Word begins with preparation, and then with praise, and in the opening collect, the introduction of a theme. And you notice that today it said, help us to think and do. There's your two parts, thinking and doing, Word and sacraments. And the point is that we are thinking creatures. We need to have nourishment in that thought. in the words, and in the Word, Jesus made flesh. You know, the Word of God isn't really the Bible. The Word of God is Christ Himself. You know that great hymn? The Word of God incarnate, O judgment from on high. Wonderful hymn that when I was in college and playing in the folk mass, we always sang as the gradual, right before the reading of the gospel. O Word of God incarnate, O wisdom from on high. So, let me also add that while I grew up in the Protestant Episcopal Church, with its emphasis on the Word will usually draw us. The Word will usually engage us. Because imagine if you went to a church and you didn't agree with a word they said. You won't be back. So the Word is at the heart of our first half of the service. It's where we read the Scriptures, and we probably read more than many Protestant churches do, reading from the Old Testament, from the Psalms, from the New Testament, and from the Gospel. Then we unpack the Word. We have the chance to reflect on the Word and hear someone's intellectual response to that. And we are challenged by that intellectual response to that, sometimes to the point of disagreeing to where we say we can't be here anymore, but usually to the point where we're at least challenged to look beyond the Word and to see how it applies to this world in which there is so much need of God's Word. So how did I grow out of that Word-emphasized church? Well, about the time I got to high school, the Episcopal Church had started to realize that this dichotomy between high church and low church, between the Protestants and Catholics in the church, and we're both part of the church, Protestants and Catholics. We needed something more to unify those two aspects. And that came about in the form of prayer book reform. You know, for almost 500 years, we worshiped using the same words. For almost 500 years, they very seldom changed, even though in the front of the book it says, change me whenever you need to. It says that in the front of the book. The people who wrote the book originally said, change to fit the times and occasions that you find the faith needing to be active. So when I went to work at our diocesan camp, we had already been through one round of reform of the words that we use in worship, called the Liturgy of the Lord's Supper. And we had begun the process of the new prayer book for those days. Now it's not new at all. That was in the late 70s that we decided to, as a church, to develop a new worship book. And one of the things that we did at the camp in order to live into that was that we would often take the camp and break it down into smaller groups that would prepare parts of the service. And each part of the service would then be a part of an entire service that took place as the close of the camp. And that took root in me, because I began to finally unpack not just the Word that we have in the Bible, but the Word, the words that we use in our worship. And I like to describe the two parts of our worship as climbing two mountains, where we get together and we look at the word and we proclaim the word, and then in response to that claim to the world, we tumble back into the world by saying what we believe. We make a statement of faith and belief, and then we put that belief into practice by the words we say in our prayers. And then we conclude by admitting that I can't do it all by myself, and I need forgiveness to be a part of God's holy word. And then I reach out to my fellow worshipers and offer the peace of Christ and share in that peace as a symbol of the forgiveness that is available to us all, which is the end result of following the word of God in Jesus, who forgives and lives forgiveness. So back to the bread. Do you ever think about the fact that, as Jesus said in the wilderness, humans don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God? Well, bread itself shows us that we are human. For we don't emphasize just that God created the world and gave us dominion over the birds and the beasts and the fruit and the produce of the land. Otherwise, we'd still be eating whatever meat we butcher and whatever veggies we grow. But no, we have come to have elaborate recipes. The bread of life that Jesus proclaims is a recipe for life. And bread itself, when you think about it, by the time we move from creation to the recreation in Jesus, we don't just eat simple grain, but we eat the grain with an elaborate recipe that makes it bread, so that bread becomes a symbol word for all that sustains us, all that nourishes us, all that teaches us. And it takes our own creativity, utilizing the gifts from God, to make that bread which we offer. One tangent I could go on here is that, you know what they started calling money in the 60s? Give me some bread, man. It shows you exactly why the bread that Jesus proclaims to be is not about money. And the love of money being the source of all evil. Because Jesus knew that we needed to be sustained by Him, by faith in Him who sent Him to us, by the presence of Him in each of us, so that we see ourselves as communicating directly with God through the bread that is Jesus Himself. The bread that gives life to the world. And that means, well, take the act of eating. First, we must prepare. Then we must clean up to be ready. Then we sit down together, and we give thanks for that. And then we taste and begin to consume. For in tasting, we get an introduction to what our faith is all about. I could go on, but that'll be next week. Because when we talk about thinking, we must also find that come to fulfillment and fruition in doing. And that's where the service of the table comes in. And that's where the sacraments continue to nourish us as the Word begins and takes root in all of our hearts. So to conclude this week, I want to offer a song, as you know I like to do. This is a song that was written back in the time when I was a camp counselor and we were doing all that liturgical study and helping people grow into what our worship is, how it is structured, and how it works. It was written by a priest, long deceased, who had developed at his parish in Gainesville, Florida, Earl Page was his name, a parish folk mass that used the popular guitar stuff of the day, that he wrote the music and the words for a lot of the liturgical music. This is called Come, Take of His Bread. Come, take of His bread. Eat, that we may live in Him. Come, take of His wine, that He may live in us. Come to the table of Christ. Praise Him who lives among humans. Show forth His life and His death on the cross until His coming again. Open your hearts to His love, you who are weary or sad. Rest and renewal He promises us. Come and rejoice and be glad. Offer each other your hand. Give or forgive without fear. How can we love Him that no one has seen and not our neighbor who's near? Pray for the peace of the world. Live with your life what you pray. He came among us as servant of all. Work for His kingdom today. And here's how the chorus goes. Come, take of His bread. Eat, that we may live in Him. Come, drink of His wine, that He may live in us. Come, take of His bread. Eat, that we may live in Him. Come, drink of His wine, that He may live in us. Hope you'll be here next week to hear part two. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand. Let us profess our faith by saying the Nicene Creed, found on page 9. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, He is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets.
We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the People. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church. Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you. We pray for all the bishops, priests, and deacons. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world. Grant us grace to do your will in all that we undertake. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble. Give to the departed eternal rest. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. Let us pray for our own needs and those of others, especially those on our prayer list. Margaret, Steve, Nicole, Courtney and J.R., Blair, John and John, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Jane, Ryan and Haley, Timmy, Richard, Regina, Irene, Larry, June, Michael, Laura, Baylor, Shay, Ed and Pat, Doug, Alberta, Tom, Jane, Tony, Zach, Betsy, Michael, Clara, Georgina, Joycey, Russ, Sarah, Bill, Martha, Shane, Judy, Jean, Richard, Jackie, Alan, Pat, Nick, Morgan Ray, Raphael, David, George, Randy, Scott, Betty.
Are there any other intercessions? Send your spirit upon this congregation and to its leaders to call a new rector and prepare our hearts to receive this person.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Turn us unto your ways, O God, and grant us courage to encounter new paths.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Turn us unto your ways and make us lovers of all, opening our arms to embrace our neighbor's need. We pray for the members of the armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Kay Hackett, Nancy McKeon Johnson, and Vicki Guthrie. We give thanks for those celebrating an anniversary this week, especially Laura and Scott Greenwell, and Chris and George Georgeson.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you
in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will
and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Also with you.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
To be modest in times and ways.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him, and with him, and in him. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died, rose, and lives for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now unto God's gracious mercy and protection we commit ourselves. May God bless us and keep us. May God's face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. And may the light of God's countenance lift us up and give us power and peace to know and to do God's will this day and evermore. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Thanks be to God.